Brothers, we have a few points of some practical fellowship that we'd like to pass on in this session, but we won't fill the whole time. There's still, I believe, will be time for some overflowing from what we've gained, from the day. But before touching those practical matters, which is as a kind of lead-in, I would like to say a few words to come back to the first point on outline number 3, where we started this morning, and the word that was included here directly to all the leading brothers in a very direct way. I wonder if we could read that, actually the first point and ABC one more time. So we're on message 3 on page 19, message 3, Roman 1, ABC. Amen. The co-worker. Amen. This first point, Roman 1, the co-workers and the elders who take the lead in the Lord's recovery must realize that the Lord's recovery is resting upon their shoulders. What their recovery will be depends on what they will be. This, of course, was spoken by Brother Lee when he was releasing these messages on the divine and mystical realm. I do believe this was 1994. Yeah. Brothers, for whatever reason, we are here.
Yeah.
We are here. we didn't choose to be in the role that we are. I don't think any of us. Maybe some of us foolishly did. Yeah. But usually what I've seen is the ones who seek such roles don't get those roles. And then the ones who don't look for it end up there. Many times it's like this. Of course, Paul says to young Timothy in his first letter, right? It is a good thing to aspire to the oversight, right? That's in chapter 3. When he starts to talk about what it is to have the function of the eldership, of the elders, and then the deacons, the serving ones. It is a good thing. It is a good thing to aspire to the oversight. Paul chose to use the word oversight there rather than eldership, because oversight is the function. And so the point is, it's good to have that function. Amen. And it's good to seek to have such a function. The function of what? That you have that amount of life and that desire, even some capability to oversee something in the church life. So that's a good thing. But we all know that because we're in Adamic, we're in Adam, there's something else there in all of us. And those negative germs are there, and the germs of ambition and seeking for position. That's just always there. And I think ongoing your whole life, you have to always deny that. You have to always deny that. And that gets tested along the way. That gets tested. Just by a simple thing that we ask two brothers, would you brothers take care of this? And the third brother thinks, what about me? It's just, and then with the two brothers that both feel, yeah, we got chosen, we ask, okay, so everyone let him know and he'll tell us. Then the second one thinks, hey, I just felt good, now I feel bad because I'm up, now I'm down. This happens. Just even an email is sent to you and you check, wait, am I the first name or am I CC'd? And if I'm on CC, am I the first or am I just jumbled in the middle? Or am I an afterthought? I'm at the end. Or you get an email, oh, sorry, brother, we forgot to mention you. And you get the CC, you know, everybody. And nobody knows that you're even on the list because you were not on the original. These things, you never got bothered? You're very holy. If none of these things ever, you never thought it. Because to the pure, all things are pure. So I'm showing you, I'm not so pure. I'm letting you know. Oh, and so, but brothers, for whatever reason, here we are, and we're bearing some kind of responsibility. What kind of, I don't know what kind of responsibility. Maybe it's just in a group meeting. Maybe it's in a service. Surely not everybody here is an elder. That I know for sure. And in the churches these days, who's the elders? You hardly know who's appointed, not appointed. We haven't talked about this for years. And so the point is, do you have a heart to serve? That's the point. And when we sent out the notice, that was what we sent out. Brothers, this is for the serving brothers. How you define that in your place, that's up to you. But here we are. The point is, here we are. And the fact is, what the recovery will be depends on what we will be. And that is very sobering. Brothers, that's very sobering. Because to some extent, I think you could even say it this way, the Lord is counting on us. Whether he can have what he desires sooner rather than later. And all of us have the heart, Lord, we want you to come back. We want to please you. We want you to have what you desire. But we may be the very ones to delay him and to detain him. And you heard the testimony. Brother David gave some little more about what happened in 1977. I was 19 years old. I saw all the things. I saw all the things right in front of me. All the things happened. And who was it? A coworker with another coworker. And then elders standing with them. And then the innocent saints. So many innocent saints lost. Hundreds and hundreds of saints. Why? Because there was a brother that didn't see this. And gave ground to those germs. I'm not his judge, and none of us should be his judge, because by the Lord's mercy, we could just step back and learn and say, oh Lord, I'm glad that wasn't me. But the fact that that wasn't me doesn't mean it won't be me. And we all have to be humble. But brothers, what the recovery will be depends upon what they will be, meaning us, what we will be. And that is a sobering thing. That's a sobering thing. And so I would just like to say this. I don't know if it's a kind of conclusion or what, but that I do hope that we would take these things to the Lord. Amen. That we could in whatever time we have. And I believe many of us, we will go back to these in time and review these, you know, through our week by week study and the use of morning, you know, the Holy Word for morning revival. We probably will have a chance to do that in many of our places. But I do hope we would remember, yes, on one hand, all the saints will get into this. All the saints will get into this. But this was a word to the leading ones. This was a word to the leading ones. So all of us have to take these things to heart. All of us have to take these things to heart. And I do hope we would really allow, I think that was one key word that came out this afternoon and in the second session this morning, about taking Christ as our person, is that we would allow the Lord to be the one to make the decisions. And this, all of this is so personal. All of this is so personal in our daily living. This is not about leading meetings. This is not about giving messages. This is about taking Christ as my person at home from morning till evening. Taking Christ as my person in my driving, in my interaction with my wife and children, with the brothers around me that I coordinate with. This is very daily, very personal. Even one word that was brought out in message 4 is very, actually, even before that, very intimate. This is intimate. This is in our intimate experience with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians, I think we all know this part. When Paul was talking about that brother who had sinned in the first book, right? He wrote the letter in chapter 5. There was the sinning brother whom Paul committed to Satan. And then by the beginning of the second letter, that brother had repented. The brother had repented. And then Paul says what? I forgive him in the person of Christ. In the person of Christ. And I think you all know, right? That word person, there's a wonderful note, explanatory note, footnote. That word person is actually face, is the word, Greek word for face. But it's not the common word for the whole face. It is actually the index of the eyes, right here. So Paul, he faced the brother, and the question is, should I forgive him or not? Then he looks to Christ, and Christ's eyes say, forgive. So it's like, I forgive you. I forgive you. But it's looking at, I forgive you. I forgive you. And you know, only the people you're most intimate with, that works. Your wife, sometimes your children, that intimacy, that you can read them. You can read their person through the eyes. That's Paul taking Christ as his person. And so we need that all day long. And then we need to see, actually one of the brothers highlighted it in his testimony just this last session. We need to see that this is what the Lord is doing today. This is what the Lord is doing today. We need to be up to date with the Lord. And that does not negate all the other things. That does not negate anything. It just puts everything in its proper place. We are burdened for the children. We are burdened for the young people. We are burdened for the gospel on the college campuses. We are burdened for the young families, the young adult, the working saints. We're burdened for the young families. We're burdened for the God-ordained way to be brought into full fruition among the saints, that all the saints would be brought into function. We're burdened for so many things. Yeah. But we realize as we're handling all these things. The Lord is actually only doing one thing, and that is to produce the new man. That's what he's doing, and that's what we need to focus, pay attention to, and as we shepherd the saints with us, that's actually what we're doing too. As we're caring for the young adults and the young families and all the other services, actually, we're bringing in the one new man. So anyway, I just felt to say a little something. Again, I don't know if that means a conclusion or not. I wouldn't say it's a conclusion because maybe the other brothers have some feeling later to say something. Or you may have some feeling when we open the mics. Okay, two things I want to bring up. One of them is regarding our schedule of events here and in the New York metropolitan area, which is New York and New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, in 2020. So we'd like to give you a little bit of our calendar so that you are aware with good time. We can put these things, we actually have a schedule, but what we have is too detailed because that's actual church events. That doesn't concern all of us. But we could make this, public and put it somewhere, or or we could send it to you. But we want to make some things clear because there are some new things on the calendar that we have not done before. And there are some changes to existing things. And so we want to present some burden, why we're having these, why we're changing, for everyone to understand. And if there's any question, we're open for fellowship. These are not set in stone decisions. In the practice of what we just heard, we want to do this all in the consciousness of the new man. So anyway, we want to start to present some of the some of the points. Okay. Okay. The first thing is that we would like to have a sisters blending conference. This will be a one-day conference on Saturday, February 29th. The Lord's giving us an extra day next year. We're going to give it to the sisters. Okay? Saturday, February 29. So, and this would be not here, but in Hall 1 of a church in New York City. So, February 29, this will be a sisters blending conference. Sisters blending conference. And that will be in New York City, Hall 1. The schedule, now we did this twice, or three, twice? Within the last 2.5 years, we did this twice. The first time we did it, we ended up with 450 sisters. 450. I still remember that. I remember that the night before, on Friday night, I looked at the registration, and the registration was 325. That was shocking to me because I was expecting about 200. Why? Because the brothers' blending time was about 180. Yeah, that's the first time that we did such a kind of iterative review blending, and we thought, 180, wow, that's a great number. And I thought, sisters, maybe we can hit 200. And the night before, I looked there, 325. Well, the next morning in the meeting, they wouldn't stop coming. And it was 450. And quite a number of sisters, I'm going to tell you what they said. I'm just going to tell you what they said. They complained to us that they said, the brothers didn't tell us about this. We found out from somebody else last night. So we told them, but we sent, where are you from? Oh, from what place? Oh, but we sent the invitation to your church, to you. you brothers. Yeah, and it never got passed on. So that's why we're telling you now.
Beware.
Yeah, and then we're really going to depend on the sisters getting it out themselves, word of mouth. We're not really depending on you guys for this. But anyway, February 29th. The schedule will be something like this. We'll start at like 9:30, and somewhat like the schedule we had here today. So we'll have breakfast there available for the sisters. If the sisters from longer distances want to come the night before, we will offer hospitality. No charge at all for this, of course, no charge at all. Just come ahead of time. If they want to stay till the Lord's Day, they're welcome to blend with us or with the churches in New Jersey or come up here. So we'll start a breakfast, let's say 8:30, 9:30, one and a half hour session, 30 minutes break, another session, lunch break, another session like that. Hour to an hour and a half sessions, probably four sessions, okay? So we will end at dinner. We'll end at dinner. That way they can travel back if they'd like to, at least to most places, or stay for hospitality and blending if they would like. Okay, so that's one. Then in March 13 through 15 is the Spanish-speaking conference. Here, March 13 to 15, Spanish-speaking. And brothers, we always call like this, Spanish speaking. Please don't call it the Spanish conference. Okay? It's not a Spanish conference. It's not just for Spanish. It's not for Spanish. It's not only in Spanish. It's to help the need of the Spanish speaking saints. Okay. But these meetings are, as we always do, side by side. The brother speaks in Spanish with side by side English. So anybody could come, okay? We have an agreement with brothers Victor Molina, Rick Scatterday, and Eric Romero, all brothers, co-workers, who all are leading ones in Anaheim. And we ask two of the three, please come. We don't care who. Just two, come, and we'll pick you up and give us the conference. And they've been pretty much tag teaming, like two will come, and then the next time one will come with a different one, and then the next time, you know, they keep rotating, kind of like that. And so we have it in March, and and this will be here, KPCC, and just for your awareness, we'll do it again in September. When in September? September 18 to 20. Okay? So now you know long before. Okay. The weekend after this, this is now March, and please notice this is going to be only 2 days, 20 to 21, which is Friday and Saturday. It's too long for me to write. But it's going to be the Young Working Saints, and this I will write out, Young Families here at KPCC. This is Friday and Saturday. Same beginning and ending of us, not the same schedule. And that's going to be a big point. This is a Young Working Saints and Young Families blending, not conference. Blending. We have a purpose for saying that. In September, most likely September, 25, 6, 7. Is that right? There's something wrong on that date. I only put, yeah, but it should be the whole weekend. So I don't know which one, which date is Friday, if you could look that up.
25.
25. Okay. In again, in September 25 to 27, yeah, that weekend, we will have, as we usually have been, having a Young Working Saints and Young Couples Conference. That'll be a conference with messages. We usually have 5 sessions, 4 messages and 1 special fellowship. In March, what we want to do is, for example, something like this. Encourage them to come Friday night. Encourage everyone, arrive Friday night. No meeting. Just get here Friday night. Get here Friday night. So that we could have a good start at breakfast the next morning. Okay. Then, on Saturday morning, maybe something like this. We have breakfast from 8 to 9 or 9:30. At 9:30, we'll have a time for the children. For all the children, just to sing with them. Not a lesson, but just to sing. And the best would be if the dads would lead this time and just be here with the children. So a little program for the children. Not too long, 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Then either free time or we have some program for the children, outside or downstairs, whether, depending on the weather. Maybe from 11 to 12 that morning, we will have a session for the sisters. We gather all the sisters for 45 minutes or an hour. Just some brief time of fellowship while the dads take care of the children. Maybe concurrently we would have something for the young working saints. We could do something here and then have something downstairs. Amen. 1 hour, not more, 45 minutes or 1 hour. Lunch together, open. Do you see a more casual atmosphere? Then in the afternoon, we have something just for the mothers, the sisters, but just the moms. Or we do something for the parents, and then all the single ones take care of the kids. Something like that, where we would have maybe 3 or 4 sessions, but not for everyone. Meeting specific needs, while the others are just here blending, spending time together, and taking care of the kids. And on this day, what we really want to do first is take care of the sisters, the young, especially the moms. We want the moms to be shepherded. Second, we want the children to be taken care of. And then we're all just here. And we don't know if we'll have even 1 session for the brothers. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll have a session from 5 to 6 p.m. Yeah. And then we'll cut that short because we have to serve the dinner. Something like that. But you understand? This is not for us. Brothers, this is an investment for us. You're investing that your wife would be shepherded so that she could be happy, so that she would leave you to serve more. Yeah, so maybe there's a hidden motive, but not really.
It's a good motive.
It's a good motive.
For the 1 year man.
Yeah. This is for the 1 year man. But the sisters need to be shepherded, brothers. We don't have enough for our sisters. We don't have enough attention sometimes, and they get unintentionally overlooked. In 2020, we want that to end. We like the sisters to really, really be shepherded. Yeah. So we have a sister. Look at this sister's time, and then this time. Oh, brothers, the following week is Itero. They will send you with blessing to Anaheim. So it'd be good if all of us would get to Anaheim for the Itero. Amen. They will bless you. Amen. Okay, what's next? Next is the Itero.
Regional conference.
Yes, that is Okay. Now, let's put the itero here. What are the dates for the itero? 27 to 29. Because, yeah, so this is March. Is the itero in Anaheim. Itero in Anaheim. The weekend following this. Following this. So that is what? April? 3 to 5. Is the regional conference. Regional conference with Brother Ed Marks. And that will be most likely in Franklin, New Jersey. You know, we had scheduled this conference in October, and then Brother Ed was not able to come. So since he couldn't come, we'd like to give him a chance to be with in Franklin, in New Jersey. I spoke to him Thursday night, and he already is looking forward very much to this conference. Yeah, he's looking forward to this conference. So this is the weekend right after the itero. Right after the itero. Regional conference, Northeast Churches, there. Amen. Okay. Next is, when's the Young People's Conference? The following weekend. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay. The following weekend, April 9 to 12, is the Northeast Young People's Conference. I'll just put YPC. And that's here at KPCC. So you see, brothers, these are 5 in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Amen. Amen. Then, I think the next, I'm not going to fill in the Chinese-speaking conferences. We'll talk about that later. June 6th, Saturday, is the True School Teachers... Memorial Day. Yeah. But I don't think I need to list it. Yeah, Memorial Day. I don't know if it's the weekend right after Memorial Day or not.
25th and then June 6th.
No, it's
probably not. It's a week before, right? So June 6th is the Summer School of Truth. We call it the Teacher's Training. Well, that's the term that Brother Lee used. Teacher's Training. And that's also here, and that's one day, again, from 9 till dinner. That's the preparation for the Summer School of Truth. Summer School of Truth. Okay.
So people can come on Friday night.
Yes, the same. People are welcome to come Friday night so that you don't come directly to meetings, but come rest and have a good start on Saturday morning. Okay, I think I just want to put two more things. That is the college training and the Summer School of Truth. Okay, so July, what is it, sorry?
10 to 16.
Is the college training. Yes, it's from a third, this is different, brothers. It starts on a Thursday and it, it starts on a Friday and ends on a Thursday.
Right.
Yes, yes.
Sorry about that.
Yes. So it starts on Friday night, July 10, and it ends on Thursday noon, July 16th. And this is the college, Northeast College Training. And that's also here at KPCC. And then the last thing, actually, is two parts. The first part is July 29, Tuesday, right?
Tuesday is the
28th. Tuesday, 28th. Until August, what? 5. And then, August 5 through 9?
Nine.
Okay. 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, 4. Okay. I'll explain this, but this is the summer school of truth for the high school years. And this is the summer school of truth for the middle, let's say people understand more, junior high. Yeah. Okay, brothers, we've been having the summer school of truth, of course, since 1984 in the Northeast, in different combinations or arrangements. And then in 2016, when we purchased this, we started to have it here. So we've had it 4 times here, 16, 17, 18, 19. This last year, this summer, we actually had attendance of, I think it's 560 participants. 560. Of course, never all at the same time, because we can't fit that many. Because it's 10 days, the serving ones, sometimes 3 serving ones make 1 full-time person. And you can understand that we're dealing with teenagers, some of them very young. They're, even not teenagers yet, 11 years old. So if we have a room of young people, we must have an adult in the room, with them. So overnight. And so it's not just to take care of the meetings. It's to take care of them on a 24-hour basis. So the serving ones, some will come for the first weekend. Others, and you can't take time off from work. And then some who can take time off come Monday to Friday. And then others come the following weekend. And they form 1 full-time person. So anyway, so our capacity here is just overfull. And we've had to, these last couple of years, even rent rooms in local hotels or motels to take care of the capacity. Okay, and we feel that's just not so good. That's not so good for the atmosphere and for many things, even safety, driving off at night and all that. But also, there's the realization it's only going to grow. It's only going to grow. All your churches, you consider, in some of your churches, you have a lot of babies, and the children are it's just going to be bigger. On our, this year in New York City, our children's meeting in the first 6 months increased by 47%. And it should be though that way. It should be actually, it's too little. We want more children to be gained, but if more children are gained, eventually we're going to have more teenagers. So our feeling is that to better take care of them, it would be best if we have split sessions for the high schoolers and the junior hires. Also, this gives us a lot more flexibility to take care of the junior hires in a much better way. Now our meetings, usually are with combined meetings are in this room. Then when we have high school and junior high schoolers here, junior high in one of the other halls. And our schedule has to be pretty much the same, for the meals and the snacks and all that. Actually, the junior hires should have shorter meetings.
Yep.
The shorter attention span, shorter sharing. We should be able to release them, have more interactive things with them. They're children. But they have a capacity for the truth. So we want to still be faithful. I don't mean that we're turning into, you know, just fun and games like summer camp. That's not what we're doing. But they just should, for example, the meeting for the high schoolers, we have usually 2 hours maybe in the evening. The junior hires should be hour 15, hour and a half. And just better meet their need and get them to bed earlier. That's really what we should be doing. This allows us that opportunity. Not only so, we depend very much on our college students all over the Northeast to help us. And the many college students are able to be full-time with us for the 10 days. Many adults are not able because of vacation. You know, you can understand. And many of you are the ones serving. I know you understand that. Okay. And then even as your children are growing up, you're going to end up coming, right, with your kids, more of you. So you will take part of this firsthand. Well, if we expand, you know, this is what now? 13 days? It's 14 days. It's longer than what we were doing before. It was 10, now it's 12 or 13. Is it quite, not quite 14? So there's more need for serving ones. So where are we going to get them from if already we're stretched? Well, this is our thought. Some of these high schoolers who are here with us the first 8 days, the upperclassmen, juniors and seniors, some of them, if they would like, we will take applications from them to serve during the junior high. And so we will bring them into service younger than we ever have before. And actually, I feel they would be very, very, some of them would be very good. Actually, I was a counselor when I was 13 years old, when I was with the denomination. And we would have a camp up here that we'd come to. That was their practice. They gave us responsibility. I was taking care of 8-year-old boys. And I was the room leader at 13. So sometimes we baby our young people too much. We're talking about the 16 and 17-year-olds here. It's not too much for them. And actually, first, they'd get the full 2 weeks of the truth school. I mean, they'd be occupied for a longer time and with responsibility, which means once all their friends go home and the junior hires come, they will be meeting with us at 6:30 in the morning. Amen. They'll be here praying with us. Amen. They'll be here in the afternoons. You know, they'll grow up fast, some of them. This will be very good. We feel this will be very good for them. So anyway, we wanted to present this to you all. So if there's any questions, any concerns, any angles we don't see, please. Anyway, that's part of the schedule. That's not the whole thing. That's just the first half of, you know, a little more than half of the year.
Me as well, for the next iteral review next fall.
Yes, good. Iteral review. We're thinking, brothers, that because of all the other things that go on in the fall, maybe we keep the same weekend. That is the weekend right before Thanksgiving. And we'll do it November 20 and 21. November 20 and 21. So we'll have the iteral review. Okay, and that'll be here, of course.
Brothers, you feel good about it. Actually, a lot of even brothers in college age, this will be a good exposure for them as well.
Amen.
To encourage more brothers to come and to enjoy this kind of land. Amen.
Amen.
Do you have the date for the interim review in the spring?
Oh, iteral review in the spring. Yeah, our thought, we had some fellowship about this, that because of the regional conference, that takes up an extra, now we're introducing this as something new, Now, Brother Ed has committed to come twice a year. Twice a year. The weekend right after the Itero, and then the last full weekend in October, since he's committed to do this. So this is something kind of new in all our church schedule, that it might be too much if we try to cram in the Itero review. And because the spring is domestic, we certainly hope more brothers would go. So we're thinking not to call. But if there's a feeling, we're open for fellowship. If there's a feeling, we should still consider, let's have more fellowship about it. But, I mean, already it's kind of, you know, Anything else, brothers? There is one other thing I want to bring up. But anything on the schedule? Again, we can digitize this and send it to you, or just have, maybe we could send you everything at KPCC plus these kind of regional events, the Sisters Blending and the two times with Brother Ed. In the fall, it'll be in New York City. In the spring, we hope it'll be in Franklin. And then in the fall, in New York City.
So the literal review for fall is 2021?
November 2021,
yeah.
Oh, November. Okay.
November, yes, okay. November. Because Brother Ed, the regional conference will be something like October 25 to 27. Something like that. The last full weekend in October. Yeah, the October 31 is a Saturday, so November 1 is a Lord's Day, not that weekend. Yeah. Okay, brothers? Again, if you have other questions, we can still take it later. One other burden I'd like to bring, and that is regarding the camp, regarding KPCC. No, brothers, I want to make it clear, because we talk this way, and I've talked this way. Oh, we bought a camp. Yeah. Who's we? Yeah, who's we? And you go to the churches. Oh, yeah, we have a camp upstate. Yeah, who's we? Actually, this place is not owned, either by the church in New York City, neither by any of the churches in New Jersey, nor by any church. It's not owned by a local church. This camp is owned by a not-for-profit organization called Kingston Penuel Christian Center Incorporated. It's a not-for-profit 501c3 corporation. Yeah, it's its own entity. It's its own entity. And when we purchase this, The price, I don't know if you remember that story, I'm not going to repeat it, but it was $2.88 million. And our address is 288. There is a link there, but I'll let Peter tell that story some other time. Maybe not today. 288, yeah. And I always think it's very funny maybe I shouldn't even say this. Brother Minoru wouldn't like that I say this, but I'm going to say it, I think, is that Oak Glen cost 8.2. You know, Oak Glen is the camp in Southern California, 8.2, and ours cost 2.8. Oh, when Minoru goes like this, stop, don't talk like that, don't tell me. Yeah, and they have 50 acres. We have 232. Anyway, sorry. acres. Anyway, so basically, 2.88, $3 million. Right, $3 million. Right. So to purchase this $3 million, to purchase the camp, the funds came from three sources to purchase. Okay? First, the giving of the saints and the churches. Individual saints and churches was a little over $1 million. Yeah. Then we received two Interest-free? Interest-free open-term loans of $1 million each from two saints. Each saint offered $1 million to get the thing done. And the understanding was, we'll pay them back, but when? Whenever. You know, like, you understand the kind of love of the saints for that. Okay. Then we got it, but of course, we right away, capital improvements had to be made. First thing is, the kitchen had to be basically redone, and other works throughout. And you've noticed, if you've been coming these 3 years plus, that there are little by little improvements here and there done that had to come from somewhere. Well, we got another saint, a third saint, offered us $1 million. Okay. So actually, $1 million paid for by the saints, and another two to purchase, outstanding, and then $1 million for capital expenditures. Okay. So we owe $3 million. Okay. In 2018, February, I believe, the brother, the first one with the first million, forgave the whole thing and said that's his offering to the Lord. Yeah, and we're thankful for that we have brothers that are able to do that. That's we really thank the Lord. So we still have $2 million outstanding. Now, up till these 4 years, actually the first time that we had the iterative review was at the end of 2016 in Hall 1 in New York. And the brothers gave a report. And I don't know if you remember, some of you were there. We were actually not too far off of breaking even the first year, not too far off. Now this year, we're right there at the break-even point, break-even. Which means two things. Mm-hmm. We haven't been able to get money to pay back those two loans. Also, we haven't had monies for major repairs. Improvements. Yeah. For example, this, out here there's a pool, right? There's a right by the parking area. We would like to fill that and use that space, either one of these or maybe a combination of these, to make a kind of a multi-purpose room there, building that can be used for overflow cafeteria, meetings, for the children, carpeted so the children have a nice, safe place, indoor. But we'd also like to have like a jungle gym. Yeah. I'm sure they have them in New Jersey and here and there, but I know in Irvine, California, if you've been to Irvine, all the communities have these very nice with monkey bars and swings and the thing that you climb through and, with the rubber thing on the, just a nice safe haven for the kids to play. We'd like to have that right there. But right now it's a dream. But that's the plan. That if we had funds, that'd be the next step. Then, there's the basketball court. Here, that, it's asphalt there. What we'd like to do, and that probably in stages, eventually what we'd like to do is have an indoor gym so that the kids can be, year-round. That actually would end up being a space for a meeting of 1,000. Yeah, if we had that. Yeah, if you've been to Oak Glen, that's what they have in the camp over there. There's a big gymnasium, and that's what they use for their larger meetings in the West Coast. We would like to do that. What we're thinking is to do it in stages, And the first step is to cover the basket, the court, cover the court, but open on the sides. But just the cover, so we're never rained out, never snowed out. You can use that all the time for some kind of sports thing. And then as we have funds, you know, you build that cover ready to close, like, you know, on foundation, on, you know, whatever, so that then you just complete it. And then you put the, you know, ventilation, heating and all that once you do that. But to do it, cover it with a view toward enclosing. Yeah. But that's still a dream. Yeah. So we'd like to present this to you, brothers. Nothing else. If you are so led to bring this to the saints in your places, there is such a need. The Lord has provided through these dear saints that we could have this place, that we could have a day like today. Up till now, brothers, we realize there are two other sources of income possible. There are two other sources of income. One is that we would use the place more. Okay? We're at break even. So if we had 10 more weekends being used, that income could be starting to pay back the loan and for the improvements. So if your local church wanted to have a weekend conference or a blending or some special event or group meetings to come or whatever, that would help. If there are 10 churches in New Jersey, if every church would have a kind of cycle once a month to have something here, that would help. We have 9 halls now in New York City. If we would cycle through, yeah. And we could even do them on the same day. You could have hall 7 with Nutley. A blending. You could have hall 9 with Edison and a blending. You know what I mean? And let's not forget Philadelphia. Then Philadelphia can, you know, because we only have 9 halls, so we can combine. And, you know, Philadelphia and Franklin. You know, anyway, you understand the point. But it's open for other things. Actually, saints have rented for family reunion just to come and spend a few days. It's open for whatever. We just want to let you know. Okay, now, the other source of income is that we could open it outside to other believers, Christian groups, to rent. And actually, some brothers have been pushing, why don't we do this? Well, we could, and in a sense, understand me correctly, I don't want to say this lightly, but that's easy money. We could. But then that cramps our flexibility. Right now, this is ours. If you want to be here next weekend, you could be here next weekend. And it you know, we could just, it's yours. We're so flexible. We're flexible to add things like we've done. Because nobody else, the schedule is clear. Well, we are hesitating to do that. We want that to be last resort. And we feel the Lord has led us to hold off and that the need could be met through the churches. Amen. So we just want to mention mention that. Amen. Amen? And I'm saying this on behalf of the brothers who are, I have nothing to do officially with the corporation, this and that, and I know they wouldn't initiate to do this. We asked them if we could do this. Amen. So this is not that the brothers came and asked, you know, please use this opportunity. No. This was in our heart to do. Amen. We had good feeling about it. Then we told them we'd like to do this. And so that's why. So I don't want to give you a wrong impression about that. Any questions about this area, brothers? Anything? Yeah, sure.
I just had some feeling about this.
Sure.
We had talked about it before. Because I know there are saints who have given from our churches when we first bought the property, but they don't know there's this $2 million.
There's still need, yeah.
They don't know there's still need because we never mentioned it. And we're not, you know, gonna make big. But if there are a private situation or some opportunity to let the saints know there is need, then I think we owe it to the saints to give them the opportunity, to participate in this because they all love coming here. I mean, we still have saints in many of our localities that have not yet been. And I think the last time we were here, we had some from New York that came. Oh, this is the first time, and you know. They really enjoy the time here, and they.
Brothers here, it's their first time.
Yeah, yeah. How many are here the first time, brother? Oh, yeah. Okay. Some others. Yeah. Very good. So it's really a tremendous facility.
Amen.
It's not that far from us, you know, and I just felt like the saints should have some opportunity, and they should know that there's still something, because otherwise we're going to have to rent it out to outside people. That means it's going to cramp our. I mean, look. Our schedule here with the Chinese-speaking meetings and conferences is pretty full, and it's quite a testimony that we could fill it, and still now and where we are break even, but we really need to improve and we need to go forward and give the saints the opportunity. So I thought this might be a good opportunity to let you brothers know about this. So
not just conferences or church gatherings, also the family gatherings.
Yes, yes.
Even weddings. We had a wedding here, I think, a few times. So just want to let the saints know. Because if you rent any place in Queens, it's pretty expensive. I don't know about New Jersey or Philadelphia.
We didn't say this particularly, but, you know, they have encouraged us. You know, even you bring your small group up. We have, you know, these cabins, 18, 19, and 20, that many of us are staying in. You can bring your small group. There's 5 bedrooms, 2 baths. You could have ladies and men's, and bring a few families with the kids and self-cook.
Right.
It's not that expensive to do. Then you're just renting the, you know. So coming up, and then they play with the kids all of the time. So that's very, very... there's another opportunity. We don't have to have the staff cook for us. Of course, you can have them. That, you know, would be a different expense. But to come up, and we've had some small groups come up. They really enjoy it. Have a very good time, you know. To
fishing is free.
And the fishing is free, yes. There's some big bass in there. We've caught bass in there. But there's some big bass in that lake.
Of this place to us, we really treasure the blending of the churches, especially in this area. Not only different language group have opportunity to blend, not only young people, college saints, and all age saints, even among the churches can come together more often in a blended way. So. Praise the Lord, at the beginning, we all have such a burden and sense of pray for this and give this for the purchasing of this initial purchasing of this property. Now, for the ongoing, we need to continue to invest on this. And this is not something somebody prepared for this. This is ours. Every church, we should take care of our investment. For our church life, for our future, for our younger generation. We are doing this every year. We have summer school tours here. We have college training sends here. We have all the conferences here. So for the fees for conference here, collection, mainly to take care regular need for the meal. But for the operation, continuing improvement in order to meet this need, really need all of us exercise, especially all the leading brothers here from all localities. If we take this burden, go back and make our budget, make our plan, every year the church in Fairlong has a portion, set a goal. And 10 churches in New Jersey and all the meeting hall in New York and the nearby churches here, if every one of us have a portion, than the Lord, easily to meet the Lord's need. But we must not only individual sense make the vow, make the commitment, or the church, the leading ones, we need to fellowship. Keep this in mind. The KPCC is for the churches, also for the carrying out of practical one new man.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not sure, brothers, you realize the pricing structure that the brothers have used. You know, for a regular weekend, full price is what, $125, I think, for Friday through Lord's Day, five meals, three meals on Saturday, two on. But for teenagers, it's $60. You understand? You know. And then after two children, third is free. Third, whoever is free. So, because of this, the burden has been to for families and the young people to make it accessible for, you know, for them, especially so many, you know, we do have families that have, you know, more than one child coming to events. So we want to keep this that way. We could just make it, you know, 110, everybody 110, and make up the money, you know, that way. But we don't want to do that. We want to still make it easy for, on the easier on the families and so on. Anyway. You mean like what we're doing now? What do you mean?
No, now this is the era, but you know, just coming all together and spending time to know each other.
Yeah, longer. Yeah.
Longer time, yeah. Actually, we were planning to have a larger meeting hall so we can have some iterals here. Actually, a long time ago, we were talking about this. Brothers, really, this is the Lord's blessing. The first time we saw this place is 2014, October 22nd, 2014. Mm-hmm. And we signed a contract on February 14th, 2015. And we purchased this January 15th, 2016. So we've been using this place almost 4 years now. And even for the number of SST, our numbers has been increasing in the order of 20% or so every year. Since we begin to use this. So the blessing is tremendous. And this past few years, I think maybe New York City benefited the most. Really, the saints, is because it seems like we're closer. Actually, it's really not. Okay, if, for example, if the churches from Piscataway and North, actually, you are closer than New York City. From New York City, on average, it probably took us a little over two hours to get here. And Franklin South may add another 30 minutes or so. So to Philadelphia is about 180 miles, right? It's about 3 hours. So it's really not bad. And the Boston area is, if they drive over here, is a three and a half. So this is the part, is just, brothers, is just, really use it. The more we use it for the churches, the more benefit we get. Yeah. And actually, the more use, and also saints have burdens to offer, this camp can be well taken care of. And right now, we have 6.5 serving ones. We take care of everything, including all repair work. Because of the roofing change, we have to contract it out. It's too dangerous. But we just the six, you know, six saints serving, they take care of everything, you know, So it's we try to keep the budget as a minimum budget, so that we are trying really not to open to other groups. And past a few years, a lot of inquiries, and we don't say yes or no. So we go to their face, their website. As Pentecostal and the different groups, we really don't feel peaceful to make that money, because we don't want to bring in many other different ways. That's one. The two is we really hope our churches, our saints, will use more. So we don't want them to lock up our schedule. You know, because a lot of them, if they say, if we use it, we're going to make a five-year commitment. So which means that we can, in 5 years, is out. We cannot do anything ourselves. So that's why we are really holding our breath still until this year, not open to outsiders. And only the office season, for example, early December, there's a local Spanish-speaking church. They're going to come here for a whole weekend to read the Bible only. We have to make sure. What do you do? They said they will come for the whole weekend to read the Bible. So that's why I was like, okay, just come. So brothers, we needed to make sure we don't introduce in other activities. So that, brothers, please pray for this. This is really for all the churches. Amen. The Lord just led the brothers to make this decision to have this camp to facilitate the growth, perfecting, and the building up of the saints. Amen. And so far, Rosen Church in Rosendale was raised up almost simultaneously with the camp. Now they are meeting in Building E as their temporary meeting hall, or maybe long term if we have more church, goes on. So here is actually the church in Rosendale, this locality, also got raised up concurrently with it. Yeah, Lily.
Do you have any printout material or website?
We have a website. We don't have a printed material. This is where we are keeping pretty low key here, and the website will be.
Well, thank the Lord for gathering us here together this weekend.
What am I doing?
From so many things, this weekend into himself.
How do I?
Well, here we have four sections this weekend. We'd like to fellowship with you this subject, the one new man.
We're all on the one year man. That's the Brother James, right? And so it is, sorry, brothers. It's a Camp Rosendale, as one word, kpcc.org. Camp Rosendale. Small, okay? Camp Rosendale. kpcc.org. Okay, there are videos there. So KPCC right now is registered as a 501c3 nonprofit by itself. So this is any offerings will be tax deductible. We can send you that. Okay, it's really for. First time, brothers, if you use it at the camp, is always give 20% discount. Actually, our comparison, the price here is for a comparable camp is only about 75% of their the price range, because it's mainly trying to encourage. Because if we included young people and children, the price if we jack up as adults, that would be about the same. Yeah, so far the total price is much lower than the average nearby. This is within about 75 miles radius. There are a few camps in this region. Yeah. So, amen. The previous owner was a Korean group in New Jersey. And so we bought it from them. Anyway, so a lot of stories here. If it comes, so this camp, first built by the Gambino family. There's two buildings. So later sold, changed a few hands until reached us. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Any other sharings or should we have dinner?
Yeah, let's have dinner.
Amen.
So we have some announcements. Okay, first, I guess regarding these, please You can take off your name tag, pull your name tag off, and then return your lanyard and the name badge, the clear badge. You can return them to the ushers. So they'll be over there. And then a reminder. Yeah, you can separate the two. You could use the clip to undo it. And then a reminder to those who stayed last night, please put the used linens in a blue bin. There should be a blue bin inside the cabin. Please put the used linens in there, and then you could bring your trash, collect the trash, and bring them to this building. Actually, I think there's, by the parking lot, there are some outdoor trash bins. You can dispose of them over there. And brothers, if you get help, you can pick up your chairs, and then we'll stack them against this wall over here.
Some in the back.
Yeah. There's some stacks already there. 10 deep. Let's make them 10 deep. Please count to make sure they only go 10 deep. And then we can have our dinner together.